And we're holding on to page 64 in Megillah, still the middle of the very long Oath Yud. We're in the middle, actually, of the Gemara had been dashing a series of psukim in Sefer Yeshaya, because we mentioned earlier in the sugya that in order for a person to learn Ma'aseh Merkava, he has to have certain qualifications, which are based on one of the psukim over there. So the Gemara was going through where Yeshaya is saying that there's going to come a point when various kinds of things are going to be missing from the Jewish people, and the Gemara has been going through and davshaning that each of these refers to people who have certain, who have certain caliber, people who have certain abilities in Torah, and now each of those is going to at some point be lost from the Jewish people. So we're holding about 10 lines down, Yoyet Zeshe Yedea, on page 64. So we said that. So the list of, so far we went through a bunch of the things in Yeshaya's list. Then he continues Yoyetz, that the next one that's going to be lacking from the Jewish people at some point is going to be a Yoyetz, an advisor. And what does that mean? That refers to somebody who has the ability to declare leap years and to declare new months, meaning that he knows all the intricate calculations that go into Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah. What does that have to do with Yoyetz? So Pashtos, the point is, in other words, that a Yoyetz is somebody who's able to give advice. And here, in other words, now Maharsha points out, in other words, that here you can have Eitza and Milah D'Alma as well. But here, everything else that we've been saying so far, we're davshening as some ability in Torah. Therefore, understanding that it means that he's able to give Eitza in an important area of Torah that not everybody is familiar with, namely Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah. Another point as well, Eitz Yosef points out that we find in Divrei Yomim, we have the story there where Chizkiyahu, we learned back in Pesachim, that there were three among the things that Chizkiyahu did that were a little con that were con that were controversial among the Chachamim of his times, was he declared an Ibur where they felt he shouldn't have, either that he declared it on Lamed Adar and they said you're not supposed to at that point, because conceivably that could be Aleph Nissen, or that he did it Mipnei HaTumah because many people were Tomei and wouldn't be able to bring the Korban Pesach in time, and he wanted to have a massive new start with a fresh start with a Korban Pesach with everybody coming. Either way, the Chachamim disapproved of it, but it uses the expression in the pasuk over there, "Vayivatz HaMelech," that the king took counsel and decided to do this. So we see that the word Yoyetz is associated with Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra, and in that particular case with Ibra Shana. Next, the next thing in the pasuk is actually in the pasuk. You have the two next words are together. Chacham Charoshim. Chacham is in a not chacham with two kamatzes, which would be a separate word, but chacham, which means a chacham of. So the simple meaning of chacham parosha means a wise person of secrets or something like that. But here the Gemara breaks up the two words into two. Chacham or chacham, the Talmud HaMakid Masraboisa. The word chacham in that chacham, in that pasuk, refers to a Talmud who's able to make his Rebbeim smarter. Because he asks good questions, and that brings out a much better, a much higher level of learning, as we learned in Tainis, where Rav Chanina said that I learned from my Mitalmida Yosef Mikolam. So that would be Chacham. And Choroshim, the next word in the Pasuk, Choroshim, Zeshe Nasu Akolophon of Kecherishim, Beshoshe Peseach, the Divrei Torah. This is a Talmud Chacham of such a caliber that everybody else becomes like mute in front of him when he starts speaking words of Torah, because nobody else is able to speak up and be able to say anything as great as he is. So like he has the final word on the subject. So even though, again, in the pasuk, it makes it sound like it's one thing, but the Gemara is davening as two different milas. Otsa Bolum on the side over here discusses, and then there's a further footnote on it, that we can understand Chacham Charoshim as basically meaning that we can still understand the word Chacham as a samuch, as meaning the Chacham of, so it means that he has that effect on the Charoshim, that he learns under the Charoshim, the great Talmid Chacham of the caliber, where when they speak, then nobody else has what to say, and he in turn is machkim them and brings them to even greater heights. So in that way, we're able to turn to that way. We're not having to change the nikud of the words in the pasuk and the grammatical function of the words, and yet we have that the Gemara can darshan it as two separate milas. Next, Olav Unavoin. Again, in the pasuk, you have the words Unavoin Lochasha put together, and literally it means somebody who's able to understand whispered things. But again, the Gemara breaks it up into two milas. The not unvoin, the hameven dover, mitech dover. A novon refers to somebody who is able to understand one thing from another. So you give him some facts, and he's able to understand new facts and new ideas from them. That's the difference, after all, between chokhmah and bina. And lachash, zasheroi, limsa, le divrei Torah, shenitnu b'lachash. And when it says lachash, refers to a person who's of the caliber that you can give him over the kind of divrei Torah that have to be given over in a whisper, such as ma'aseh merkava, which is the whole subject of the sugya. So far, Yeshaya has been saying in these psukim that Hashem is saying, "Kihine odin Hashem tzvokas meisum Yerushalayim Yehuda." There's going to come a point when people of such caliber, with all of these different milas that he says, are going to be removed from Yerushalayim. Then he continues in the next pasuk, "Venasati naorim sorehem." Hashem says, "I will make naorim be their princes." Now, the simple meaning of naorim just means young men. But okay, what's wrong with that? Sometimes, if you can have good, smart people who are young. The Gemara doesn't mention it over here, but to give an example, there's a Yerushalmi that mentions one of the Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi Rabbun, who passed away at 28 years old, and Rabbi Yochanan gave a hesped on him and said he was able to accomplish in Torah in 28 years what most people couldn't in 100. So lav dafka, because a person is young, means that there's something wrong with him. Therefore, the Gemara has to understand the word na'orim doesn't stam mean that they're young. It means, Amar Rabbi Elazar, b'nei orim shemenu orim min ha-mitzvahs. These are people who are shaken out, who are empty of mitzvahs. So they're going to be sorehem, they're now going to be the leaders of the Jewish people. And the pasuk continues, the same pasuk continues, v'sa'alulim yimshalubam. Now, the simple meaning of sa'alulim is like tricksters or mockers, like asheri salalti b'mitzrayim. But the double expression, the fact that you have a double lamed in there, it means, Amr of Achav Yaakov, Elu Tali Bnei Tali. It means foxes, the sons of foxes. In other words, the word Talulim, we're not darshaning as being from the Shurdash Olal, like a Sheri Salalti B'Mitzrayim. Rather, we're taking the tuf as part of the Shurdash and associating it with the word Tala in Aramaic, which is the equivalent of Shul in Lashon Kodesh. So it means these are foxes, the son of foxes. So in other words, they're very lowly. We have in Pirkei Avos, have a son of La'arayus, Ba'alti Roish L'Shu'olim. So these are like the foxes among the foxes themselves, the lowest of the low. Another point is that foxes are also very sly creatures, so it means that they're going to be like that as well. So that's Salul. Now, we said before that so far we had 18 klolos that Yeshaya said on the Jewish people. V'len iskader adaita, but he still didn't calm down, and it still wasn't even mind wasn't appeased. Ad sha'amalahem yirhav wanarav agoyim, until he continues with the end of the pasuk that we quoted before, that the young will feel themselves proud against the elders, and the nikla, the degraded, will feel important relative to the nichbad, to the important. We talked about when we learned at the beginning of this on Thursday why it is what is Yeshaya, some kind of Soni Yisrael Chas V'Shalom, that he has to give all, a whole bunch of klolos before he feels better. And we said Maharsha explains that because then once you have that, this Yirav Anar Bazakin, then it shows that Mashiach is very close, because that's one of the simonim of Ikvus and Mashiacha. Another point is because then that tells him that the fact that people aren't listening to him is not his fault. It's not that it's not Dvorim Ayotzim and Alev, it's rather that itself is part of the klola. And there are a variety of other explanations along lines like that, or like others, that he realized, in other words, that this is all part of the Gzeira Min HaShemayim, and therefore but it made him feel better, that this is like it can't get any worse than that, basically. Anyway, so what's this my year of Wanar Bazokin? So what does it mean the young are going to feel proud against the elders? So again, given that Vinasati Naorim Sarehem, we just established, doesn't mean Naorim as in young people, then we have the right, says Maharsha, to assume that the year of Wanar also doesn't mean actually young people, but rather it means something that are missing something. So it means my year of Wanar Bazokin, Yovoyu Bnei Odim Sheminu Orim Min HaMitzvahs. There's going to come people who are empty of mitzvahs. The year of one, they're going to feel, and they're going to pride themselves over the Misha Moli Mitzvahs Karim, and against those who are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. So that's the year of Wanar Bazokin. My Vanikla Vanichla. Then when the pasuk continues, the Zokin is Konach Hazesh, Konach Chachman, he's full of mitzvahs. And my Vanikla Vanichla, what does it mean? The degraded is going to feel himself proud over the honorable, which is the simple meaning of the pasuk, means yavoyu mishachamuris doymes lahem tekalos, people who treat serious averus as though they're minor ones, van nikla. They think that that even the most serious mitzvahs, only nikla, they're nothings, maloshin kal, they're gonna come, the you have one, they're gonna feel proud when mishakalas doimas aleim kachamuras against people who the other way around, who realize that even the smallest mitzvah, even the seemingly least important mitzvah, is very, very serious. So van nikla, they treat all mitzvahs with kavod, and also kaved, meloshin heavy, and they're going to, the nikla, the people who think that all mitzvahs are light and unimportant, are going to feel themselves, are going to pride themselves, and lord it over the nichba, the ones who are the other way around. So then when Yeshaya said that, then the niskara daito, for the various reasons that we discussed, why that made him feel better, that he has to say such a thing on the Jewish people. So now the Gemara continues to douche in the next couple of psukim over there in Yeshaya. So Omer of Ketina, Afilu b'shas kishloina shal Yerushalayim, even at the time when Yerushalayim stumbled, even at the time of the Churban, loy posku mimenu anshei amana, there never ceased to be honest people in Yerushalayim. Shenemar, and here we have the following psukim, right after that, in Yeshaya. The psukim continue, ki yisbos ish ba'achiv beis aviv, a person is going to grab a hold of his brother, meaning his relative, from a member of his father's household. The word lemer is in parenthesis. It doesn't actually say the word lemer in the pasuk. Simla lecha. He's going to say, so let's first translate the psukim in the simple sense. And again, then we'll go through how the Gemara is going to douche. The simple sense is that a person is gonna grab a hold of his forever of his relative, and he's gonna say, Simla lecha, you have a garment, kotzin tiyalanu, so you should be a leader for us. And these stumbling blocks for society are in your hands, meaning you have the capability of doing something about them. So then the next pasuk continues, Yisa Bayemahu, the person is gonna lift up, which the Gemara is going to explain, means a Loshen Shavua. Lemo, and he's going to say, Loi e yachovish, I will not be an imprisoner, meaning the Mephoshim on the Pasuk explained. Poshuk Pshat means, in other words, a leader, a community leader, sometimes has to imprison people when they're not doing what they're supposed to. So I'm not going to be that kind of person. Ovevesi ein lechem ve'ein simla, and there's no bread and no clothing in my house. Loi sisimoni ktsin am, don't make me a leader of the people. So the Poshuk Pshat is exactly that you're going to have people. They're going to grab a hold of anybody and say, at least you have something, you have honorable garments, you have a look of a leader about you, become our leader. And the guy's going to say, no, you're wrong, I have nothing of the sort. But now Rav Ketina is going to explain that it means not that they're talking about the ruch, about the gashmiyistika advantages that they think this person has, but rather the ruchmiyistika ones. One point is, because this Gemara is also in Shabbos, Marsha points out over there. I mean, if it was just a matter, how could they make such a blatant mistake? If the guy is saying, I don't have any simla, then how are they telling him simla l'cha? So therefore, it has to be that there's more here than meets the eye. So what it is like this. So they're saying simla l'cha, you have a simla, a garment, cuts into yalanu, you should be a leader of ours. That means dvorim shemnei adam iskasim behem kasimla, things in Torah that people cover themselves with like a garment, Yeshen and Tachas Yodecha, you have them ready at hand. So you have people, usually, in other words, would hide. They're afraid that people are going to ask them on these topics in Torah because they're not familiar with them. But you have them ready at hand, and you're able to explain them right off the bat. And when Vamachshela Hazois, and they continue, this Machshela, my Vamachshela Hazois, Dvorim She'in B'nei Odom, Omdim Aleim, Elim Ken Nichshel Baham. You have things in Torah where a person doesn't understand them fully until he stumbles over them. Meaning, in other words, that you have a Talmud, for example, is learning something once, twice, and the first couple of times he's not getting it right. Then eventually, after he learns it a few times, he starts understanding. Sometimes you even have also where he might actually say it wrongly the first few times, and then he gets corrected repeatedly, and eventually it sinks in to say it the right way. So they tell him that this machshela hazos, these things and difficult things in Torah that people often stumble over at the beginning, she'ein b'nei adam omdim aleim elim ken nichshel b'hem. This is the kind of things where people don't usually understand until they've stumbled over them a few times. Yeshen and tachas yadecha, they're under your hand, meaning they're right ready at hand to you. So they're telling him, in short, in other words, that you know all kinds of deep air and complex areas in Torah that we don't know, therefore cuts into Yalanu, you should be our leader, the Ruchnis. And the next pasuk continues, Yisa b'yomahu lemer, he will lift up on that day and say, Loi e yachovish, that I will not be a chovish. Now again, in the simple meaning, chovish means like I won't be a judge who sentences people to jail. But first of all, in Yissa el Shvua, the word Yissa means that he's going to lift up, means that he's going to say a Shvua. He's going to swear to the following. When he says, Loi Eye Choivish, I will not be a Choivish, my Loi Eye Choivish, Loi Eye, or Loi Hoyisi, me Choivshe Bes Medish. I was never one of those people who was locked up, who was imprisoned in the Bes Medrash. In other words, you can look at it, a person who spends, who's kvetching the bank block there in the Bes Medrash, it's as if like he's in prison there, he's stuck there on the bench, so to speak. So he's saying, I've never been that kind of person. I've never been used to being that kind of person who spends much time in the Bes Medrash. Eitz Yosef points out, in other words, don't think that Loi Eye is in future tense, I will not be, implying in the past I used to learn in the Bes Medrash, but now I'm not going to be anymore. No, it means I've never been that kind of person. And over Vesi and Lechem Vein Simla, when he continues, in my house, there's no bread and no garment, that means Shein B'yodi, Le Mikra of Le Mishnah of Le Talmud. I don't have any familiarity with Tanakh or Mishnayos or Gemara, which are represented respectively by Lechem and Simla. So the point is, Rav Katina is saying, you see, that people were honest. People wouldn't take on themselves a name that they know Torah when they really don't. So therefore, so we see that's a milah that Yishai is saying, as bad as things got, nevertheless, you always had Anshei Amon. The question is, why? The Dilma Shiny Hossam, why? Maybe that's not necessarily a matter of honesty. It's different over there. The Omelahu Gemuna, if he were to tell them, I do know, Amulei, then they would tell him, Amalon. Well, then very well, tell us something in Torah. And he wouldn't be able to, and then he'd be embarrassed. So maybe he's saying that not so much because he's honest, because he doesn't want to get caught out in a lie. But the Gemara says, no, Havalei the Mem, Gom of a Shochach. If it was just that, he could have claimed that he used to know it, that he learned it previously, and then he forgot it. My loy ei choivish, when he says, I'm not a choivish, I've never been, means loy ei choivish klal, means I've never been that kind of person who sits in Beis Medrash. So that shows that he has honesty. That shows that it's not just a matter of avoiding being caught out in a lie. He's genuinely telling the truth that he never has been a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, Eini. So is that so? So you're telling me that even at the time of the Churban, there were honest people in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was not destroyed until people of Amona, people of honesty, had ceased from it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Shoytetu b'chutzis Yerushalayim. Yumiya says, go and wander around the streets of Yerushalayim. Uruna, and take a look. Udu, and know. And search around in its squares. Im timtzu ish, if you're going to find a single person. Im yesh oisa mishpat mevakesh emuna, are you going to find a single person who does justice and who looks for truth? The eslach lo, then Hashem says, I'm willing to forgive Yerushalayim on that basis if there's even one person of that caliber in Yerushalayim. But in other words, Hashem is saying there's not, and therefore there's going to have to be a churban. So you see, nobody is looking for emuna. So what are you telling me? There's always anshei emuna. And the answer is, like Kasha, there's a difference between what kind of amuna, what kind of honesty are we talking about. As far as Divrei Torah, people were still honest. That's what that was Rav Katina's Drasha. And as opposed to in business, not everybody, there weren't people that were honest at the time of the Churban. And in fact, Maharsha points out, this Gemara is also in Shabbos. Maharsha points out there, you see it in the respective psukim, because you see the Pasuk in Yumia is saying, go out and look in the streets and the squares. In other words, which is places where business takes place. So in the business world, you won't find any honest people. But when it comes to Torah, then Rav Katina is saying you will find on the basis of the Pasuk in Yishai. Okay. So Hobbit Divrei Torah Masamat, Divrei Torah Havu, when it comes to Divrei Torah, there were people who were honest and who would be willing to admit that they never learned, rather than trying to get away with the excuse that they did learn and then they forgot it. But Maso Matan Lai Havu, but when it came to Maso Matan, there weren't such people. Okay, getting back now. So now we basically were done with discussing the actual Maisa Merkava, the details of the Chayas HaKodesh and all that. Now the Gemara is going to tell a couple of stories in that regard of Chachamim who got involved in learning and teaching Maisa Merkava. Eventually we're going to have, we'll learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, about the Abosh and Nichmas of the Paradise. But before we get to that, so turn it up. Maisa B'Rab Yochanan Ben Zakkai Shaya Reich V'Lachamor V'Yotzim Yerushalayim. It happened once. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was riding on a donkey and leaving Yerushalayim. The Girsa and the printed Gemaras is Bahoyim Mahalach Baderach. He was traveling on the road. it could mean when he was leaving Yerushalayim before the Churban, when he told the Aspasionis, tend the Yavne v'chachamah, or it could mean Stam, they were going on a trip outside Yerushalayim in the time when the Bais HaMikdash was still standing. Anyway, v'hoyer Rav Elazar ben Aruch, talmidim hamer achrav, lumad Torah mipiv. Rav Elazar ben Aruch, his talmid, was leading the donkey from behind him in order to have a chance to learn Torah from his Rebbe. But in other words, even though Rav Elazar ben Aruch himself was a distinguished Talmud Chacham, he's not going to be, he's willing to even go and be a donkey driver, abi he can be with his Rebbe on the road and learn Torah. Omeloi, so he says, Rebbe, shneili perek echad b'maisi merkava. Teach me a section in Maisim Erkava. Omeloi, Rabbi Yechon Metzakeh says, b'ni, loy kach shanisi lachem. Haven't I previously taught you what it says in our mission of loy b'merkava b'yochid, that you don't teach the Maisim Erkava even to an individual Talmud Chacham by himself? Elim ken hoya chacham mevin midaito, unless there's a chacham who's able to understand it on his own. So I can't teach it to you, in short. Omeloi, so Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch says, Rebbe, tausheni loy malafanecha mima udover echad shilamantoni. Fine, Rebbe, at least give me permission to tell you over one thing that you taught me. Now, one way of understanding it is, if Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai just said, I can't teach it to you because you're not yet a chacham mevin midaito, then what does he mean that you taught me? So Marsha gives a couple of explanations. Marsha's first explanation we'll leave for the end of the story, but the other explanations he says is either it means that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai had taught him the Roshei Prakim, which, as we said before, according to many Rishonim, you can teach the Roshei Prakim even to a person who's not of the caliber of Chacham Mevin Midaitai, and then if he understands the rest himself, then good. So therefore, he had taught Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch the Roshei Prakim, and now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is proposing to go further and tell over what he understood on his own based on those Roshei Prakim. The other way of understanding it is that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai hadn't taught it to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch at all. But it's derech eretz for a Talmud when he's going to say something over in front of his Rebbe to say what you taught me, even if he hadn't actually learned it from him. So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch had learned it from some other Rebbe, or he'd learned it all on his own or whatever, but now he's using this expression, shilimantoni, out of derech eretz for his Rebbe. Anyway, omalei emur, so Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai says, go ahead, say. Miyad yored ben Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai min achamur. Right away, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai got off the donkey, v'nisatef, and he wrapped himself up like he would do to show respect for the Eibishter. V'yoshev ala evan achas tachas azayis. He sat on a stone under an olive tree. And Marsha points out the significance in that. It's not Stam a description so we can draw ourselves a picture in our mind of what it looked like. The stone symbolizes the same way as by Moshe Rabbeinu, where he sat on a stone with a holly. And under an olive tree represents the light of Torah, as the a person sees olive oil on a dream, he can look forward to being able to achieve the light of Torah. So therefore, in token of that, Rabbi Yochanan is sitting under an olive tree. Omalei Rebbe mipnama yoradti min achamur. So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch asks him, Rebbe, why'd you get off the donkey? Omaloi, so Rabbi Yechon says, Efshar at the Dorish Maisim Erkava. How would it be possible otherwise? You're going to be teaching Maisim Erkava. Ushchina imanu Malach Asharis Malavin Oisonu. The Shechina is with us, and Malach Asharis are accompanying us. Which Marisha says doesn't just mean that the Shechina and the Malach Asharis are going to come now in honor of the event. It means that actually that the Shechina is already with us, and Malach Asharis are already accompanying us on the road because as we're learning Torah, they want to hear what we're learning. So now, all the more so that you're going to be teaching Maisim Erkava, Vani Erkav Alachamur. I should be riding on a donkey. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be Derech Eretz. So one point behind it is Parshat that riding on a donkey represents that a person is on a higher, is holding himself higher. So in front of the Shechina and in the face of Maisim Erkava, he should be getting down onto the ground. There's a vort on it. There was a famous Yid a few hundred years ago named Reb Yosselman of Rosheim. You have Marcus Lehmann wrote an entire book about what he accomplished for the Jews of Germany in his times. He was a major Shtadler, and he went and talked to kings and emperors and princes and bishops and whatnot to work on behalf of the Yid. And he was also a Talmud Chacham. He wrote a sefer, parts of which have been published. And he mentions this Gemara, and in that he says the vort is Chamur represents Chumrius. That represents the materiality and the physicality of this world. So therefore, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai is saying it's not appropriate that I should be involved at all with the chumrius of the world when you're going to be talking about Maisim Erkav. Anyway, so miyad posach Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch and ben Aruch v'dorash Maisim Erkav. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch started giving his drosha in Maisim Erkav. Yorda Esh Min HaShemayim. At that point, a fire came down from Shemayim. The Sichzecha is the Girsay in Ein Yaakov, which would mean that it's singed. The Girsay in the printed Gemara is Vesibava, it's surrounding. As Kolo Yolonis Shabasada, all of the trees in the field where they were sitting. Mausha says, what we have over here was like this. There was a combination of Maisa Bereshis and Maisa Merkava. Because after all, we had in the Mishnah that Maisa Bereshis is a prerequisite for Maisa Merkava. Therefore, they have the fire of the Maisa Merkava, similar to what Yechezkel saw in his vision. And you have the trees involved, and the trees are going to be singing Shira, like by Maisa Bereshis. Possible called Ha'ilonis V'omru Shira. The trees started saying a song of praise to Hashem. Ma Shira Omru, what Shira did they say? As we say in Tillim, Hallelujah Hashem min ha'aretz, praise Hashem from the earth. Taninim, the monster, the sea monster, the Levyosin and everything, V'chol Tahomes and all the depths, Eitz Peri V'chol Arazim, the fruit trees and all the cedars, and it finishes off Hallelujah. Others say that the song that the trees sang was the psukim, and in Hodu, the posuk in Hodu, then the trees of the forest will sing. So again, the idea is, in other words, that here the trees are evoking Maisa Bereshis. When Hashem first created them, they sang a song of praise to Hashem, and now also they're singing such a song to Hashem that about the Maisa Merkava. Va'af Malach Nenuah. So in Perek Shira, you have other psukim, I think, that it says that the trees say as their Shira, so it's not necessarily the same ones, but yeah. In fact, a malach also spoke up from the fire. This was a malach that was created by the Torah that they were learning. And he confirmed, yes, this is Maisa Merkava. What Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch is teaching is indeed the correct understanding of Maisa Merkava. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai then stood up and kissed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on the head. But Omer, he says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, blessed is Hashem, the God of Yisrael, Asher Nosen Ben LaAvram Avinu, who gave a son to our descendant of Avram Avinu, Sheyedei LaHoven VeLachker VeLidrash, he knows how to understand and to delve into and to investigate the Maisa Merkava Ke'elazar ben Aruch, that Avram Avinu should be proud of that he has such a descendant. Why dafka Avram Avinu? Maushan says, because Avraham Avinu was the first one, he did his own independent research. He discovered the Eibishter all on his own, beginning at 3 years old. And he was saying the same way, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch did his own research. And not only that, Avraham Avinu wrote Sefer Yetzirah, which is the first, the most fundamental Sefer of Kabbalah. So therefore, which is ultimately Maisa Merkava. So he's attributing that now Avraham Avinu has a schus that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch is one of his descendants. And Rabbi Yochanan continues, Yesh na dorish vein noa makayim. Sometimes you have a person who darshins beautifully, but he doesn't actually fulfill it fully. Yesh noa makayim vein noa dorish. Sometimes you have the other way around, a person who fulfills mitzvahs punctiliously, but he doesn't know how to darshin well. Aval ata, Allah zman aruch, noa dorish vein noa makayim. You, Allah zman aruch, you know how to darshin beautifully and to fulfill it beautifully. Now, where's the Makayim? Marsha says, because obviously the very fact that he's able to darshan in Maisa Merkava and not get harmed, and Malachim are coming to listen and confirming and everything, showed that it must be he's Makayim everything that Maisa Merkava entails. So therefore, you can be sure that he's Makayim Kol HaTorah Kula without anything lacking. So he continues, Ashrecha Avraham Avinu, she'Elazar ben Aruch yotzmech alatzecha. How fortunate are you, Avraham Avinu, that Elazar ben Aruch came from your loins, that he's your descendant. So you're asking if this is before, so now you think about it, after such a thing, and we have also in this past Shabbos's Pirkei Avos, Allah Zman Aruch Kriyas Kulam, and then Shemchal Dvarav Divreichem, you should expect that we would have Rabbi Allah Zman Aruch on every page of Shas. You would expect that you would have, like the way you have his Chaveirim, Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua all over Shas, you should expect you'd have something from him. What happened? Well, we know the famous story, the tragic story in Masechta Shabbos, that he left and moved to a place called Diumsis, and gradually he forgot, because there was a nice place, they had beautiful hot springs and wine and other things, and he figured, the Medrash gives more detail, his wife figured if the other Chachamim need him, because he knows such vast amounts of Torah, then they'll come to him, he doesn't have to leave to come to them, and over time, living over there, he forgot his learning, until the Gemara tells us, there came to the point when years later, when his Chaverim visited him, he couldn't even read the words from the Torah properly. He read the words Achodesh Hoyalachem. He misread them as Acheresh Hoyalibah. So it was a tremendous tragedy that we lost what would have been if he hadn't done that. Gemara and Shabbos brings that as a cautionary tale that you see how careful a person has to be to not get too involved in Taivas of Gashmius, because you see what happened even to him. Now Marsha says, now usually we understand that happened, and the Medrash seems to say as much, that happened after Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai passed away. That after he passed away, his chaverim, the other four Talmidim that are mentioned in Pirkei Avos, went to Yavne to continue learning with the Chachamim over there. And at that point, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch moved to Diyumsis, and everything happened from there. Marsha is learning over here one possibility, that the first explanation that he says is that maybe this whole story happened actually, that maybe that story with Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch forgetting his learning actually happened before, while Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai was still alive, before this whole story over here. So when he says, Tarsheni loy melefanecha, please let me tell you over something that I learned previously, it would be that, in fact, previously, when he was still that outstanding Talmid Chacham, that the greatest of all, in some ways, of all of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai's Talmidim, that was when he taught him Maisim Akov. Later on, he was saying he forgot his learning. The Chachamim, the Gemara tells in the story in Shabbos over there, that they davened for him to restore what he had forgotten. He still never reached their caliber again, because meanwhile, all those years, they had been going to such and such greater heights. But nevertheless, Marsha says one possibility is this story happened after that. Therefore, now that Hashem had restored what he had forgotten, then he knew the Maisim Merkava that previously Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai had taught him. Therefore, so at first Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai is saying, how can I teach it to you? You're not Chocham Umevin Midaita anymore, because you're not of that caliber. But he's saying that, no, you actually taught me before all that happened, before I moved to Diyumsis and before I forgot my learning, etc. And now I still remember it and I would like to tell it over. So, yeah. But that's that story, when we put together this Gemara over here and that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos with that story in Shabbos, we realize what a tremendous thing was lost as a result of that advice that he should go to Diyumsis rather than going with the other Chachamim to Yavne. He's quoted in Pirkei Avos, he's quoted here. The Pashto was before, but again, based on what Marsha is saying, that the whole story with him forgetting happened even when Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai was alive, then I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Now, when this whole story of what happened with Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, Darshining and Maisim Merkava and the Malachim coming and so on and so forth, they told it over to Rabbi Yeshua. At that point, he and his chaver, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, another one of the five Talmidim, were walking on the road. Marsha points out, you see the point that with Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai and Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, it was only the two of them. And here also, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yossi, it's only the two of them. Because since we said you can't teach Maisim Merkava only to one Talmud at a time, therefore there couldn't be more people in the entourage, because then they couldn't suggest to teach it in the first place. Anyway, Omru, so they said, Af onu nidush ma'isa merkava. We should also daushin in ma'isa merkava. Posach Rabbi Yeshua v'dorash ma'isa merkava. So sure enough, Rabbi Yeshua started daushining in ma'isa merkava. V'osayim tkufas tamuz hosa. It was in the middle of the summer, where it normally never rains or hardly even gets cloudy in Eretz Yisrael. V'niskashu shamayim ba'ovim. But all of a sudden, the sky became cloudy, because it's like al derech, like by Matan Torah, where there's choshech onan ba'arovel. V'nirasa kamin keshes ba'onan. They saw a semblance of a rainbow in the sky. Now, not an actual rainbow, Marsha points out, an actual rainbow we see from other Gemaras is a negative sign. It shows that the world is in danger of another Mabul, but it means Al-Derech, we find by Yechezkel, we find when he describes the Ma'isa Merkava, that he describes the glory of Hashem, of the Odom Shalakise, on the Kisei HaKovod. He says Kemarei HaKeshes. It's like a rainbow that you see in the cloud. Later on, in fact, the Gemara is going to mention at the end, further on in the Sugya, that you're talking not supposed to look at the rainbow because the covered of the Shechina appears in it. So here we're saying a semblance of a rainbow appeared, meaning not the kind of rainbow that shows that the Eivishtei is angry at the world, the Nirasa Akeshes Ba'anan, but rather a rainbow that shows that the Shechin is present. The Malach HaSharis are all gathering around to listen to Rabbi Yeshua telling over about the Ma'isim HaKava. Kibnei Odom Shemiskabtzin Uvoin, like the way that people gather Uvoin and they come Lidus B'mazmute Chosin V'Kala, when they used to see all of the all of the entertainments and the amusements that they do for chosin or kala, that they do for chosin kala. That's Rashi explains that means like the entertainments. Maharsha brings from the Oruch that it means that the songs that they sing, whatever. The point is by a chasana, you always have. You have over there in the middle when there was some chosin or kala, everybody stands around to watch. So the same way the Malach Asharis are standing around to watch and to listen. Holach Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin, the Sipur Advarim, the Fnei Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. So Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin, who was Rabbi Yeshua's audience, goes and tells over to Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai what happened. Omar, Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai says, Ashreichem v'ashrei yeladechem. How happy, how fortunate are you, and how fortunate are your mothers who gave birth to you. Especially with Rabbi Yeshua, by the way, we had at the beginning of this Masechta, the story where Rabbi Yeshua attributes the fact that how did he become such a great Talmid Chacham? Because we have a famous story that even while his mother was pregnant with him, she would go around to all the Talmid Chachamim to ask for a bracha that her son should grow up to be a Talmid Chacham, and that even when he was a baby, she would take around his carriage to the Bate Medrash so that his lullabies are the words of Torah. And he said that's why when you have by Hakel Sa'ama Anoshim Anoshim Ba'Taf, Ataf Lama Bo, and they say, yeah. So Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai has special reason to say here and also in Pirkei Avos on Rabbi Yeshua Ashrei Yeladeh, because his mother is who made him what he is. But now he's saying on Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin as well, Ashrei Einai Shekach Ro. And Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai says, how fortunate are my eyes that I saw this. How does Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai see it? He wasn't there. He says, Afani v'atem b'chaloimi, you and I all together, I had a dream, Misubin Hayinu al Har Sinai, we were all reclining together at like a Suda on Har Sinai, because after all the Neshamas were there at Matan Torah to receive the Torah. So all of us were there receiving these secrets of Torah. And a basko came out and announced us from Shemayim Ba'omru, and it said, Alulakan, Alulakan, come up over here. Traklin Dolam Muchanim Lachem, there are big banquet halls prepared for you. Umatsois Golas Mutsois Lachem, and there are big couches all set up for you to recline on in the meal. So in other words, like you're invited to this private party for the people who are able to learn Maisa Merkava. Atim v'tamidechem v'tamidetamidechem, and you should know you and your talmidim and the talmidim of your talmidim mizumonin lakat shlishis. You are all invited to the third group. What do we mean by the third group? There's a lot of different explanations. Maharsha says, based on a Yerushalmi, that there are actually seven groups of tzaddikim in front of the Shechina la'asid lav. So we're saying over here that they and they're compared to the top group. Their faces shine like the sun. The second one like the moon. The third one's like the sky, etc. So they're being told that they belong in that third. They belong in that third group. That's how high they elevate themselves. Then there's a number of different other explanations. There's a point that you have three different levels. You have people who learn Torah on a simple level, to understand the Pirush HaMilos. You have people who learn Torah and learn Horos from it for life. And then you have people who learn Sodas HaTorah. So they're being told you're in that third category because you're learning Sodas HaTorah. And then you have different other explanations of what it means, the third group. Another point is also, it means actually, it's you and your Talmidim's Talmidim. So therefore, you have three generations in succession, and therefore you deserve to be in the third, the highest group, the ones who are able to transmit it even two generations further. So the Gemara says, "Ain." Now, is that so? You're telling me that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch darshin on Maisa Merkava in front of Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. But v'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda Omer, sholosh hatzois hein. We know of three times when there was a lecture in modern Hebrew, also they use the word hatzah to mean a lecture. There were three times, three presentations or three lectures on Maisa Merkava in successive generations. Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin or Rabbi Yeshua, Hirtzad Vodim Fnei Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. One time Rabbi Yeshua gave a presentation and Darshan on Maisa Merkava in front of Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. But Pashtus, that maybe that's the same story that we just had before, where we said Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin was there, but Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai knew about it with Ruach Kodesh, or maybe it means there was another time when he actually Darshan it in the flesh in front of Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai. Anyway, Rabbi Akiva Hirtzad Vodim Fnei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva gave a presentation on it in front of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Hanina ben Chachinai Hirtzad Vodim Fnei Rabbi Akiva. And after that, by the way, it's brought after that already, they weren't of the caliber. Maharsha brings from the Yerushalmi. After that, they weren't of the caliber in Daitam Nakia, so therefore they weren't able to. Darshan. Anyway, the point is, Ve'ilu Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch like a choshev lay. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch is not in this list. So how could we say that he darshan in front of Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai? The answer is Da'artzi Ve'artzu Kameh Kachoshev. The list is only including the ones who darshan on it, and it was also darshan in front of him. We're saying, for example, Rabbi Yeshua darshan on it in front of Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai, and Rabbi Akiva darshan in front of him. the artsy, but like arts kame, like a choshed. Rabbi Lozman Arach darshan on it in front of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, but nobody darshan in front of him. So therefore, he's not on this list. But when I asked Eini, what do you mean? Rabbi Chaninim and Chachinai, the arts like arts kame. Rabbi Chaninim and Chachinai was saying that he darshan on it. He didn't, but nobody darshan on it in front of him. Because already, as Marashah says from the Rishalmi, they were on a lower level after that time. But Kachoshevla, and he's still the Rabbi Chanin Marchach and I, was a chaver of Rabbi Shim Ben Yochoi. So after that, they went down. But Kachoshevla, and he's still listed. Elo, the Gemara says, fine. Da'artzi, mi'a kamei, man da'artzi, have a Kachoshev. Fine, but we're listing Rabbi Chanin Marchach and I because it completes the list, because he Daushin in front of Rabbi Akiva, and so we need to be told Rabbi Akiva not only was he the one who Daushin, that he was the one to Daushin in front of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua, but also that he was able to be the audience and hear his own Talmud, Rabbi Chaninim and Chachinai, Daushining in front of him. So therefore, Rabbi Chaninim and Chachinai has to be listed, even though the chain ends there. But with Rabbi Lozman Arach, we have no reason to list him because he's not part of such a chain anyway. But that doesn't mean that he didn't actually do it. And in fact, he did do it. Okay. Yom Yom Baruch Hu. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. Yud, what is today? Yud Beis Elul. The order of the Gola is going to be, first is going to be Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Then is going to be the Jewish people are going to be taken together out of Golos. And after that is Tchias HaMeisim. And Tchias HaMeisim is going to be 40 years after Kibbutz Golias. This is, by the way, talking about the Tchias HaMeisim for the general run of people. It does bring in other places that there's going to be an earlier Tchias HaMeisim for the exceptional tzaddikim. Thus, for example, the Gemara has an expression that Moshe and Aaron are going to be present in that earlier stage, and they're going to be the ones to tell us exactly how to make the Parah Adruma and how to get things restarted in the Bais HaMikdash. But the general run of people is going to be 40 years afterwards.
Okay.
All right. Continuing on halachas of clothing and what you're allowed and not allowed to wear on Shabbos, we talked about, as far as a handkerchief, what you do with it. And by the way, Rabbi Elzeva mentioned that we have to be careful when it comes to a lot of times. You have people go to the mikvah on Shabbos, and afterward they wrap their towel around their neck and they walk home with it. On during the winter, that can work. Because during the winter, you need a scarf. It's cold, and therefore, so instead, you're using the towel, the makeshift scarf, then good. But during the summer, you really don't have a reason for that. You would never wear a scarf during the heat of the summer, and therefore, you can't do that then either. If you want to wear the towel home from the mikvah on Shabbos, you would have to find some other way to make it into an actual beged. Maybe you could tie it around your waist and use it as a makeshift belt, but that, of course, will depend whether you already have a belt on or not. Schita is another matter. You're allowed to. You're allowed to dry yourself with a towel on Shabbos. We're not really concerned that you're going to squeeze out the water, because anyway, it's not like you really. It doesn't absorb that much water in the first place, and it's not like you squeezing it out is going to really gain anything more. Tosfos and some other places discusses, by the way, what about the issue of malabin? Aren't you in effect washing it by having it soak up the water from you? And the answer is that that's not derech libur, and that's you're not making the towel any cleaner by drying yourself with it, making it dirtier. So another halacha about things that you can wear on Shabbos. What about gloves? Now, some say it's mutter to go out with them on Shabbos. Some say it's osur. The Alter Rebbe brings it's roi lahachmir, although he says the minhag is to be mekel. One point being, in other words, because you might need to scratch yourself, or you might need to whatever, and then you're going to take off the gloves and forget and carry them. When you have a muff where you put both hands into it together, then yesh lahokel, then yesh lahokel, because then even if you take it off one hand, you're still wearing it on the other. Although even then, the Alter Rebbe says where it's not tremendously cold, then it's also good to be machmir with that as well. Another possibility is, which he doesn't mention over here, is you can have the gloves attached to one another, or have them clipped onto your sleeves, as they often do, especially with little kids. And then there's more reason to be makel as well, because then it's the same principle as, for example, you wear, let's say, a coat with a hood, where the hood is thrown back, and it's part of the beggar itself. So therefore, there's more room to be makel with that.